Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
That's good news.
I want to talk about something that I heard on another radio station.
Well, it's lucky that you have your own radio show. You can talk about it as much as you'd like.
I almost never listen to other radio stations except for WCTC. But I was driving and I heard last Thursday was the third Thursday in November, which is traditionally the day that Beaujolais Nouveau comes
out.
Yes,
the third Thursday in November every year.
All right. That's a bunch of horse hockey.
It's not a bunch of horse hockey. It's a tradition that came from...
It's a bunch of horse hockey.
No, it came from a very important tradition. Beaujolais Nouveau. Well, let's tell people what Beaujolais Nouveau is.
Beaujolais is a region in France. It's actually technically located within Burgundy where they make red wine. They make white, too. And they make usually very simple red wines from a simple red wine grape, much simpler than the Pinot Noir, usually less expensive than the Pinot Noir from which they make the great Burgundies. Mm-hmm. The grape is called Gamay, so sometimes in a market you'll see Gamay Beaujolais on there. And there are different levels of Beaujolais. And the best Beaujolais are from the 10 crew villages of Beaujolais.
You're getting a little geeky now. I didn't want you to go this deep.
Okay. Well, there are some great Beaujolais. And then
there's really no such thing as a great Beaujolais.
There's some very nice Beaujolais.
There's some very nice wines that are
very affordable
in the $20 to $30 range that are tasty, delicious wines. We're not talking about $600 bottles of
right.
wine here.
And affordable and drinking well when young. Mm-hmm. And then there's a straight Beaujolais, which is it just says Beaujolais on the label, and there are some good ones of those. Those are $9 a bottle.
Correct. Those should be in the $8 to $12 a bottle.
And then a level up from that is called Beaujolais Village. Mm-hmm. And it's plural, V-I-L-L-A-G-E-S, Beaujolais Village, and that
right.
comes from certain villages within Beaujolais.
And those should be in the $12 to $20 range.
And they come from certain villages within Beaujolais that are rated to be a little bit better than the straight Beaujolais.
Well, let's talk about Beaujolais Nouveau.
Nouveau wines have always been done in most French regions of the world. When you make a wine in September, you may usually release that wine, say the earliest would be the following spring. Mm-hmm. Usually with red wines, it's two springs down the road.
Right.
Which is an expensive thing about making wine is, you harvest your banana, you sell it right away, you get the money. But bananas don't grow well in France. So the thing about wine is, to get from grape to a bottle of something you can sell is 2 years. And even in Beaujolais, which are very simple and light, it's usually, half a year, three quarters of a year.
And for a lot of people, realize you've waited 4 years to get your first grape that you can use in wine.
Right.
Now you've waited two more years to get your first money, seven, 8 years out.
One of the things that used to happen was they would make nouveau wines. So the wine is harvested in September, October, maybe into November, but usually the September and October wines. And then we make it into wine and put it into the barrel. And set that wine will be the next year's Beaujolais, next year's Beaujolais Village. Mm-hmm. But we take a little bit of it, and that's the Beaujolais Nouveau. It's basically just recently fermented grape juice.
It's unfinished, but it's a great... It's a harbinger of what's to come.
And they would send that to, say, in France, they'd send that to Paris, and the wine merchants mm-hmm. would drink the Nouveaus from all around France
exactly.
to see what the next year was going to be like. And these would be
How did the wines do? How did the grapes do? How did we do in the vineyard? How did that work out? What's going to happen to these wines as we begin to age them?
It's like a barrel tasting. It's one
right.
step ahead of a barrel tasting. It's really not the most pleasant thing. It's not unpleasant, but it's a very simple thing. And people would drink the Nouveau wine or taste the Nouveau wine to decide what they wanted to buy from the year that's currently in barrel.
And
then it's like tasting cake batter to see whether or not you want to order some cake.
Well, sometimes cake batter can be tasty.
But it ain't a cake. So that's where Nouveau came from. Well, Georges de Boeuf in the 70s came up with this fabulous idea that it sort of became the chic thing. Like, you wanted to have the Beaujolais Nouveau. Like, oh, the Beaujolais Nouveau is here.
Brilliant.
And the law says that you can't have Beaujolais Nouveau till the third Thursday of November.
Right.
Now, that was put in place to keep people from, you know, people were pushing, it's like pushing back the primaries. You know, they push it back
right.
further and further and further. And so they have a level playing field. But that was initially intended to be for people who are wine buyers to place their orders for the following spring.
A sample. Really, basically a sample bottle of this is what is in barrel now, fermenting, getting ready to be.
Well, not fermenting.
I'm sorry, not no longer fermenting, but aging, to getting ready to be what is next year's wine.
But it's not done yet. Anyway, Georges Dubuff came up with this great marketing plan. It was like, you know, you had to be the first to get the Beaujolais Nouveau on the third Thursday of November, and the first Beaujolais is flown in by airplane and may not be open before midnight on the third Thursday of November. And it's a bunch of bunk. Anyway, for a while there, Beaujolais Nouveau, which is supposed to be a little sample of what's coming in the future, accounted for more than 50% of the production of Beaujolais.
So basically, what we were doing was we were taking the sample, the what's Beaujolais going to be like, but we were taking half of it to pour as Nouveau.
Well, and it was just what it was this marketing thing, and then on the news at midnight on the third Thursday of November, they'd open the bottle and the first bottle, and they'd pour it and they'd taste it and they'd furrow their brow and make it, you know. It was just crazy, but it was a good excuse to have a party.
Great excuse to have a party, but here's what the restaurant guys will tell you. Beaujolais Nouveau, not very good. You want Beaujolais, drink Beaujolais.
There's Beaujolais Village, Cru Beaujolais.
There's plenty of decent Beaujolais out there, and I'm not a huge Beaujolais fan, but there's plenty of decent Beaujolais out there.
Now, the thing about Beaujolais Nouveau also is very often you'll see last year's Beaujolais Nouveau on sale.
Yeah.
That's because it's not good anymore. Beaujolais Nouveau, old Beaujolais Nouveau is Beaujolais passé.
Yeah, there are wines to age in your cellar and wines to not age in your cellar. Beaujolais Nouveau, if you do decide to buy it and have your little Beaujolais Nouveau party, welcome to the new year of Beaujolais. Drink it.
It tastes basically just like grape juice, which is pretty much what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to report that the percentage consumption of Beaujolais Nouveau is down. It's really actually hard to find these days in the early part of the year.
It's not that hard to find.
No, I looked in three stores. You can't find it. The air freight stuff doesn't come in that much anymore.
Oh, that's great.
However, you know, that the downside is that people aren't drinking much Beaujolais anymore. It's like, you know, we paint with such a broad brush that all of a sudden people realize that Beaujolais Nouveau is kind of hokey, and so the consumption of those other great Beaujolais are down, and that's really a sad thing because there are some great.
Especially the Cru Beaujolais. The Cru Beaujolais can be very affordable, nice wines.
So if you want to try something when you go out there, I don't recommend you try the Beaujolais Nouveau, but be a snob and go out and ask if they've got some Beaujolais, or if you're at a wine store, ask if they have some Cru Beaujolais, which are the higher-end Beaujolais, and you might find a really affordable, nice, simple wine to drink around the holidays. But yeah, keep away from that Beaujolais Nouveau. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Labarty Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. You know, in 1992 in Los Angeles, as a response to the civil unrest, Father Greg Boyle formed Homeboy Industries to create businesses that provide training, work experience, and opportunity for rival gang members to work side by side, including the many ventures. We have Homeboy Bakery, and that's just the little sliver of relevance we need to get Father Boyle on our show.
Father Greg, welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be with you guys.
You know, this show is my opportunity to call anybody I ever want to talk to and get them to come and talk to us for a while. That's a great thing that you've done. You've got a bakery. Okay, I'm running a couple of restaurants here in Jersey, in New Jersey, and none of my employees are former gang members, and I'm not in a very violent neighborhood, and I feel it's very difficult to keep it all together, you know, and to keep the wheels from coming off on a day-to-day basis. How is this working out for you?
Well, you know, I don't run either place. You know, they're connected, however, to our headquarters here. So though I've founded this thing, I have wonderful people who run the Home Girl Cafe, which is a 96-seat restaurant, and then the bakery. So they constantly bring me little samples. Yesterday they had experimented on a a pumpkin pie that was quite good. So the bakery did. So, but the good people run it. You know, I have to deal. I'm the only one who hires folks. So around here, it's like the United Nations of gangs. So it's enemies working side by side with each other. So that's another kind of wrinkle, if you will. So,
yeah.
That's actually the main question that kept coming through my mind as I've learned more about the operations you have going there, is you have rival gang members or former rival gang members working on a project together. I mean, how is that very difficult, and what are the implications of that in a business day-to-day?
Well, you know, this is like a gang rehab. So we're the largest gang rehab center in the United States. So we get 1,000 folks a month from nearly 600 different gangs.
You just said 1,000 folks a month.
Yeah. Now, there are 1,100 gangs in L.A. County, and there are 86,000 gang members. So it's a pretty daunting reality. But I have lots of services, free tattoo removal, 4,000 laser treatments a year, and huge counseling mental health component. And we have job developers who try to find them jobs elsewhere. But of the 257 folks who work in all our businesses, they're from a wide, wide variety of gangs from all over L.A. County. So enemies have to work side by side with each other. So initially, they'll always say, "I'll work with them, but I'm not going to talk to them."
And how does that how does that generally play out?
Well, it always plays out the exact same way. You know, it used to bother me that when they said that initially, but then, you know, in no time at all, they become fast friends, and a deeper union and bond is formed than anything they've ever known in their gang, because you can't demonize people you know.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a wonderful byproduct of offering, you know, the dignity of good work and a clean, honest paycheck. They also get to see the human face of people they used to shoot at and hate.
You know, I think that what was interesting in all the ventures that you have there is tattoo removal. Why is that so important?
Well, you know, everything has evolved here over the years, and it wasn't whole cloth. You know, we sort of began this way, and then we'd add this, and we'd add that as things presented themselves, you know. And one guy came once with his face covered with tattoos, his head shaved, with huge, huge blackened, exquisitely done devil's horns on his forehead. He just got out of prison, and he says, "You know, I'm having a hard time finding a job." And I said, "Well, you know, maybe we could put our heads together on this." You know?
My reaction to that would have been grow some hair. Let's cover them up.
Exactly. Well, except you can't really grow it too well on your forehead. So.
Well, I can't, that's for sure.
And so I hired him, and we started to get a doctor to donate some time and a dermatologist, and now we own two laser machines, about to get a third. We have 10 volunteer doctors. And so that just sort of was a need that presented itself in the same way that the mental health component presented itself, and anger management classes and financial management.
Do you find that there's something, I mean, I know that Homeboy Industries has a number of different ventures now, but you have the bakery and the cafe sort of, from what I've read, are fairly central. I mean, is there something transformative about the act of, like, making food and cooking food and feeding people? Is that particularly a transformative thing, or is it just my crazy romantic notion?
No, I think it is. I think, you know, you feel it more in the bakery, in the sense that they, you know, they produce this product, and there it is, you know, and people are buying it like crazy. Our biggest concern right now is not finding clients, but being able to be trained enough and efficient and fast, and maintaining the quality enough to be able to meet all the people who are falling over themselves to buy our bread. But it's very satisfying for these guys when you have different divisions. You know, they do this kind of bread, and these guys do the kind of the pastries and the desserts and the whatever. And I'll tell you, I mean, the first month here has been them just parading their wares into my office, you know, and so.
So you're getting fatter. I understand exactly. I understand exactly what happens when they start to parade their wares in of their cooking wares. You know, we have the same issues.
But also, you know, in the cafe, you know, it's these aren't women who just don't know how to, haven't been trained to work in a restaurant. these are folks who've never been to a restaurant. Mm.
Yeah.
And so they just don't have a kind of a sense of, you know, I had one young lady walk by, noticed $3 left on a table, and she grabbed it and said, wow, I just found $3. I go, well, that's somebody else's tip.
They don't tip
at Jack in the Box.
When we come back, I want to talk about from where your teachers come from.
We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 11:25.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
Vogue magazine calls Jackie Naylor the new voice of jazz. We call her family. Jackie has 6 critically acclaimed albums to her credit, including the brand new Smashed for the Holidays. From the Wall Street Journal to New York Magazine to the Village Voice, the praise is universal. The Restaurant Guys present Jackie Naylor in a Champagne New Year's Eve concert at the Crossroads Theater in New Brunswick. Champagne at intermission provided by the extraordinary Lenobe family of champagnes. Dine before or after the show at one of our restaurants right next door. The beautiful new Heldrich Hotel across the street has preferred room rates for our guests, so you don't even have to drive. Spend New Year's Eve with champagne, jazz, great food, and the Restaurant Guys. For tickets, menus, hotel rates, or more information, it's 732-828-4444 or restaurantguysradio.com. Spend New Year's Eve with us.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, and we're talking with Father Greg Boyle about his project in Los Angeles as a rehabilitation for former gang members, Homeboy Industries. We're talking about the bakery and the cafe, and we're talking about people who've never worked in a restaurant before, and many people have never been to a restaurant before, and sort of teaching them a valuable skill and bringing them into a restaurant environment. Who does the teaching? How did this get started? Who started this? The teaching of the people. Who teaches them how to do these things?
Well, we've been around for a long time, so, you know, everything has sort of gone through lots of transition. But the bakery was initially right after the unrest in L.A., and a guy across the street from the church was going to sell his bakery, which had all the equipment and everything. And I went to a movie producer who wanted to help me, and I said, well, just buy the bakery. We'll call it, I don't know, Homeboy Bakery. And so then we, you know, frantically had to find somebody to train and to bake, and that operated for some time. And then in October of 99, it burned down. It was just a kind of an old 80-year-old building, and so there was an electrical fire. And so we've gone through all sorts of changes. And at the restaurant, a woman named Patricia Zarate, who's kind of a genius, you know, in terms of food, and new Latina cuisine is what you would call it. So it's very healthy, very fresh. It's basically Mexican, but it's kind of with a twist and sort of a real difference. So, but we're packed every day at lunch. I can't get in there. It's right next door.
Well, I want to talk more about what sort of happens as a result of this, because when we give these people the skills, or you're helping to give these people the skills and build a successful enterprise, but I guess the purpose is to give them the skills to go on into the world out on their own. And I want to talk about maybe what some of your success stories might have been. After the news, will you stick with us, Father Boyle?
Sure.
Terrific. We'll be back after the news talking more with Father Greg Boyle about his groundbreaking ventures in gang rehabilitation and great food in Los Angeles. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
We're talking today with Father Greg Boyle. He is from Los Angeles, where he's founded Homeboy Industries, which creates businesses providing training and working experience for former gang members in an effort at rehabilitation and reintegration into society. And they have ventures like Homeboy Bakery, Homegirl Cafe, Homeboy Silkscreen, Homeboy Homegirl Merchandise, Homeboy Graffiti Removal. I think that's great and ironic. Homeboy Maintenance and Homeboy Landscaping. Father Boyle, with all these things that you've started, I guess the goal is to have people work in your industries, in Homeboy Industries for a while. Is it then to have them move on and be able to go out and find work in the larger workforce, or do people stay with you for a long, long time?
Well, it's both and. I mean, part of the thing is that this is the not-ready-for-prime-time player place, you know, folks who've been in prison a long stretch, those who've never had a job. You know, so you first teach the soft skills, you know, never missing, showing up on time, taking orders from disagreeable supervisors. We provide all that free of charge.
So do we.
Yeah. So and once they kind of learn that stuff, then they kind of, you know, say, yeah, I think I'm ready to go on. So it's a little stopgap for most. You know, it's a taste of what's expected of you in the working world. And then ongoing education is always expected of each person here and getting more training. So it's, you know, like we have the Silkscreen, which is our biggest, most successful business. Well, we're not preparing them for those lucrative silk screening jobs out there. We're really preparing them to work for a living, and that's kind of what we hope. So some stay and perform lots of duties here, you know, especially kids, homies who go and give talks all over the place, and some become supervisors and run the place, basically. Others are here for a time and then move on, but it's absolutely essential to have a place that will hire you right away the minute you get out of prison.
Is, you know, now gang problems are cropping up everywhere. I mean, here in the suburbs of New Jersey, in places in affluent communities, we're seeing gangland activity where there never was any before. Is your program something that you think can help that problem, or is it more geared at let me help the individuals who want to leave that?
Yeah, I mean, every community has to do about 90 things that will be helpful in terms of eliminating this forever, and we're just one among 90. I think we're an important piece. We're the intervention piece. So, but our program is not for those who need help. Lots of kids need help. It's only for those who want it. Mm-hmm. So we don't coax the unwilling. We just wait until they're ready. Just like any kind of drug abuse or alcohol abuse, it takes what it takes. You know, they can hit bottom or not hit bottom.
But
they have to walk in the door, and once they do, then that we feel that's pretty significant.
What do you feel happens? I mean, it strikes me that there are people who sort of find themselves at a certain age, whether that's in their late teens or early 20s or mid-20s or late 20s. And is it that they just turn around and say, you know what, this is untenable, I don't want this, and they're looking for a way out? What gets someone to the point where they walk into your door?
Yeah, a lot of things. You know, it's hard to say. Sometimes the birth of the first kid, or if you've come out of prison, you say, boy, that was really unpleasant. I don't want to do that again. Well, whatever it is, you know, a relationship. But nobody's ever met a hopeful kid who joined a gang. And kids aren't seeking anything when they join one. They're always fleeing something. So the point is to kind of address the lethal absence of hope that's pervasive in a lot of our inner cities. So, you know, you want to get to that place where you're providing hope to young people for whom hope often is foreign.
Do the gangs themselves make it difficult for people to leave the gangs? Is that an obstacle that you find?
No, I think that's sort of the myth, is that, you know, somehow they're going to come looking for you and hurt you because you've walked away. But I've been doing this for 20 years, and I suspect I know more gang members than anybody on the planet, and I've never seen that myself.
Well, for most people, you're in a gang. You only know the people in your gang. You get to know all the people in all the gangs.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's 95% of all gang members want what these folks have here, which is a second chance, and they want to move on. They, you know, if you're a heroin addict and you bump into somebody who you used to get high with and they're now in recovery, you don't, you know, disparage that person's choice. You say, wow, good for you. I'm not ready yet, but good for you. And the same thing happens among gangs.
You know, the thing about gangs, from a lot of what you said, Father Boyle, is that you're teaching these folks life skills. And I think that's something that you know, what I like about our industry in general, about the restaurant industry, is we take, you know, you don't need a college education to get into the business, and you don't need a master's degree to succeed in it. It's still a type of business that you can learn by apprenticeship and become quite successful at, by apprenticeship. And you start with some of the basic skills of having a job, any job, showing up on time, being polite to your boss, getting the job done, being able to communicate with your coworkers. But it seems from everything I've read that a lot of your folks then take it further for the first time and you know, create a product. Like you talked about at the beginning of our discussion, gang members bringing or people that work in the industry bringing bringing the latest thing for you to check out and look out at and sample and to have pride in their work. Is this the first time a lot of these people are able to have pride in something they create in a hard day's work?
Yeah, I mean, again, they have such a negative experience of in their own life. You know, again, it's not about good people or bad people. It's about, you know, how can we always move towards a compassion that can stand in awe at what the poor have to carry rather than stand in judgment at how they carry it. So these are all folks who've had to carry a lot of stuff and, you know, come from backgrounds of not abuse but torture and you know, have had extremely difficult moments in their life. And obviously, gang violence is how they've acted out all this self-destructive urge, you know. Yeah. And so it's a lot to handle. And there's a lot of mental health services here, too, because everybody here has been traumatized in kind of singular ways. So it's not just a job. You want to kind of infuse a sense of hope and the possibility of a future. Here, you know, folks have been used to planning their funerals and not their futures, and so you want to supplant that with some other idea.
You know, I think that sometimes when people look on folks who are less fortunate than they, and even folks who are violent, and I think there is no excuse for violence, certainly, but, you know, I'll often hear people when they're not sympathetic say something like, well, you know, why don't they just get a job? And there's so many things come into play, and one of them is, well, what job is available? And if there is a job available, even if it's a simple, you know, entry-level McDonald's job, if you've never been taught how to have a job, if you've never, as a child, as a teenager, from your parents, from your family, been taught you have to go to school on time, you have to get it done, you have to do these things that you don't want, and this is the way to success, this is the way to the end of the week, the end of the month, you don't have the skills, and I think that's a really important thing that you're addressing.
Yeah, they're definitely behind the eight ball on all this, and you want to somehow make this, you know, an easier transition for them. But above all, you want to give them a reason to get up in the morning and a reason not to gangbang the night before, and we always say around here, nothing stops a bullet like a job. And so that's what we hope to accomplish here.
That's tremendous. Hey, you can find out more about Father Greg Boyle and Homeboy Industries at homeboy-industries.org. And when we come back, we're going to ask Father Boyle how maybe we can get involved and help out with this extremely worthwhile, extremely effective program out in Los Angeles. But that's a model for a lot of communities, we hope. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. It's 11:45.
I think it's great that more and more restaurants are offering larger selections of wine by the glass. Unfortunately, I often find those by the glass wines flat or spoiled. It's been my experience that most wine preservation systems just don't work until now. The Vinfinity system was invented by Armando Luis, a mechanical engineer with over 25 years experience in the wine industry. Vinfinity has 3 U.S. patents, but it's so simple I could kill myself for not inventing it first. Vinfinity creates a precise vacuum in the bottle that preserves the wine. Too much vacuum or too little and the wine is damaged. Vinfinity never needs gas and requires little maintenance. One Vinfinity system preserves any number of wines. We use just one system for both of our restaurants, and we're not alone. Some of the best restaurants in the country are taking on the Vinfinity system. The guest gets a large selection of wines by the glass in great condition, and the restaurant eliminates waste. Tell your favorite restaurant about it. If you own a restaurant, install it. Find out more at VinfinitySystem.com or call 201-988-5953.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we're talking with Father Gregory Boyle about Homeboy Industries, which is a pretty important gang rehabilitation set of industries out in Los Angeles. Father Boyle, the work you do is pretty amazing. How do people help?
Well, lots of ways. You know, we're kind of a tiny drop in a fat bucket, so we, you know, how many homies can we hire in the end? You know, we're pretty limited, 257, though we find thousands of jobs elsewhere. So I'm always encouraging the private sector to, nobody's asking you to transform, you know, your workforce into all gang members, but everybody could hire one person. It's a way of being attentive to folks who are released from prison. And, you know, we have the highest recidivism rate in the country, in the state of California, that within 16 months, 75% of prisoners return to prison, and that's because you prepare them for nothing and nothing awaits them. So if employers or restaurants or anybody would be willing to free up a spot, it would be transformational.
I will tell everybody, and this is a good opportunity to mention this, here in the New Brunswick area, there is a soup kitchen called Elijah's Promise, and Elijah's Promise has, in the last few years, added a cooking school to their program that's basically taking people with little or no skills and teaching them skills that they can learn and take to other projects and other jobs at Elijah's Promise, and they offer some fairly talented people a new start and a set of skills, and I think a lot of the New Brunswick restaurants are already taking advantage of it, but anybody who's not, you should consider it.
And we'll put both Homeboy Industries and Elijah's Promise up on our website. Elijah's Promise is already there, but we'll have Homeboy Industries up on there later today. You know, are there other communities across the country that you're corresponding with? I know you made a couple of parallels before, Father Boyle, with rehab, like drug rehab or alcohol rehab. What are the similarities and differences between those kinds of rehab and gang rehab?
I think it's absolutely parallel. I mean, it's addictive behavior. We have a 12-step group here called Criminals and Gangs Anonymous, and it's a chance to talk about people's addiction to criminality and how they kind of gravitate always toward that kind of high-risk behavior. And so, because their experiences, they go, well, it's not drugs and it's not alcohol. Yeah, it's a lifestyle addiction. And so they, and it's been quite helpful to the folks here. But principally, you know, we don't send folks out to kind of pull them in, because no amount of us wanting that gang member to have a life is the same as that gang member wanting to have one. So he has to sort of come up with it and walk through our door, and once he does, we activate lots of services for them.
Well, let's talk about it from the other side. I'm an employer who you know, we hire people. We have 78 employees, and plus the radio show. We have 78 employees in our restaurants. And I'd love to do some good, and I'd love to make a difference. But I, like most employers, whether we state it or not, would have concerns about hiring a former gang member because that rate of recidivism is so high. And you know, I'm afraid that either myself or my business is going to be the victim of this person, especially with a gang member, of maybe his associates or his former associates or her former associates. How, as an employer, can I best protect myself and deal with this and still do some good? And do you have any words of advice for us to help?
Well, I mean, part of the thing, that's why we exist, you know, because we're a clearinghouse. You know, we won't send a homie who's not ready to get on with this life. So we kind of can pick and choose and say, well, yeah, this guy's ready. Or somebody who's been here for several months. Yeah, he knows exactly. And he's a guy who, we always say no hanging, banging, or slanging. So our expectation is that kids, these folks here, aren't involved in any of that anymore.
Father Boyle?
Yeah.
You're going to have to define hanging, banging, and slanging.
So. Realize that most of our listeners don't have a huge amount of interaction with gang members.
But I'm curious.
Yeah, hanging means kicking it with the homies. Slanging means selling drugs of any kind. And gangbanging is that activity ranging from writing on the walls to shooting at people and anything in between.
I'm against all of those.
So you have to leave all that stuff behind in order to work here. you get fired if any of that rears its head.
So we do the same thing. If you do any of those things,
any shooting is where you're not allowed back to be the pastry chef. So if someone, you know, completely off work, off time, you hear that last night they were out, you know, hanging and
if they work for me, then they're fired.
I think
it's a little bit like, if you run a drug rehab center or a residential program, somebody smoking crystal meth, you don't say, hey, cut it out. you got to leave.
I guess that's a bad strategy.
Because you're not ready. So when you're ready, come back. You know, it's still couched in really unconditional love. The day will never come when I stop helping these folks. But
it's a tough love.
The moment has come often where I have to say, but you can't work here right now. Because you're going to infect the place. I can't have you here. Plus, you endanger the place. If you're a hot item, somebody who's out there, then you attract, enemies coming here looking for you, and I can't afford that.
Does that happen to people fall out of the program and then get back in?
It's the same kind of sense of relapse that you would have in a drug rehab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he breaks up with his lady, and next thing you know, he's out there again. Writing on the walls, and I go, nope, I can't have it.
Well, you know, I think that you provide a great valuable service, because I would be very reticent to hire a gang member fresh out of prison, because I know there is that relapse, and maybe they can relapse with you for 5 or 6 months or figure out that they aren't going to relapse with you for 5 or 6 months, and then I'm probably more willing to bring someone
absolutely
on board. You know?
Absolutely. Very, very important work that you're doing.
Hey, well, thank you very much.
The organization is Homeboy Industries. It's a fascinating story. There's a book out about Father Boyle, which we'll also put up on our website. And if you want to check out them a little bit more and maybe even help them with their capital campaign, a nice thing to do around the holidays, it's www.homeboy-industries.org. You can find it on our website.
Father Boyle, thanks so much for being on the show with us today.
Real pleasure. Thank you.
It's super. And we didn't even talk very much about the food. It's supposed to be really great out there. Hey, you know what, Father Boyle, you got 1 second? No, we lost Father Boyle. We're going to come back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Sorry about that little bit of confusion. I wanted to ask or talk with Father Boyle about how great the food is. You know, he's doing such good work, and it's so important. We left out that this is a critically acclaimed bakery and Homegirl Cafe, which just opened, is doing very well.
Homegirl Cafe got a great review from the LA Times, although one thing that we have to mention is, you know, you'd be kind of a curmudgeon if you gave him a lousy review, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say.
This guy's doing some really special and important stuff, and slam the food, slam the service.
Well, you know, but the fact of the matter is, though, I think they could have just written nothing. You know,
right? Of course, and I think they would have just written nothing.
And the bakery is busy. Okay, now listen, you may go buy a cake once a year, you know, your Thanksgiving pie, because mm-hmm. you're happy with how the bakery came together.
Right.
But
you're not going to keep going back to that bakery over and over and over again unless it's really good.
And they can't keep up with it. And I was amazed with the numbers that Father Boyle was talking about. Thousands of people coming through. 1,000 a month. 1,000 people a month.
And he's got
former gang members.
257 current employees running the show, doing the job, doing the thing, keeping it on the ground. Again, you can't maintain. Realize that unless you're actually rehabilitating these gang members and actually giving them skills, he can't. His businesses wouldn't operate.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I'm a business owner. I'm a business owner. They would cease to operate. People will stop coming to your restaurant, no matter how good the cause is, if you're not producing.
Well, and I also want to talk about. Look, we always talk about where we think restaurants and food production and real food production. You know, people doing artisans and what these people are learning to be is, in one sense or another, artisans in all the different industries that they have, artisans and craftsmen, and there's something really transformative about taking pride in your work and in creating something like food and in people who are drawn to that food. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a reason that this started with food production. There's a reason that the two flagships are the Homegirl Cafe and the Homeboy Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are really proud of what they do. And we need in our society restaurants and food production, because not everybody can go to college. Not everybody wants to go to college. Not everybody set out for an academic route. And the restaurant business is the largest retail employer in the country, and we need to take care of our small restaurants. Hey, listen, guys, I hope you enjoyed the hour listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 12 noon.